Thank you for listening to today's message from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about our church and our ministry, please visit our church website at livingwaterschurchelkriver.org. We pray that you were both blessed and encouraged by today's message.
Well, we want to do a little bit of family stuff this morning. So if you're visiting this morning, I don't think I'm going to apologize, but just to let you know that we're just going to talk about some things and about vision and about our future as a church and all of that. And in some ways, that's a good time to be visiting. So we just welcome you. I want to answer the question why before we get to the what. So I'd like you to turn in your Bibles, and this isn't where my text is this morning, but this is where we're going to start preaching. Matthew chapter 11, very familiar portion of Scripture to us. Chapter 11, verse 1, we find John the Baptist in jail, and he's been told by his, verse 2, you got to catch this, he's been told by his disciples of the works of Jesus, so he sends a message to Jesus: are you the one, or do we look for another? Really, he's saying, Jesus, I prophesied and declared all kinds of things about you. Now here I'm in prison. Now are you the one that I spoke of, or is there another? Did I miss it? And Jesus sends him back a message, and he says, you go back and you tell John the things that you have heard and the things that you have seen. The dead are raised, the blind are healed, the lame walk, blah, blah, on and on and on. And then he says this: blessed is he who is not offended in me. See, Jesus didn't tell John anything he hadn't already heard. He'd already heard of these works, but he's in prison. Yuck. And he might have a clue. He is a prophet, after all, the greatest that ever was born of a woman, Jesus said. He might have a clue that he's about to lose his head. And so he's saying, Jesus, what's up? So anyway, we'll maybe talk more about that. I don't know yet. But I want to pick it up in verse 7. So after all of this, he says, blessed is he who is not offended in me. Then verse 7. As they departed, that would be the disciples of John. As they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, what did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken in the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments. Indeed, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what did you go out to see? A prophet. Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet, for this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face. He will prepare your way before you. Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there was not risen one greater than John the Baptist, but he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to receive it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. John the Baptist, and Jesus just said it, had the privilege of all the prophets. He had the privilege of doing what no other prophet could do. That's why he was called the greatest. Every other prophet stood at the pulpit, if I could say it that way, and said, the Messiah is coming. There is coming a day when the Messiah is coming. But John the Baptist was a different kind of prophet. He was a forerunner. He was the one who was called to prepare the way for Jesus. So he was not standing at the pulpit prophesying. He was standing at the window prophesying. And he was saying, the kingdom of God is at hand. The Messiah even now is on the scene. And there came a day when he said, oh, look, there he is. Behold the man of God, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. That's why he was so great. He didn't prophesy about a future. He was a forerunner that said, guess what? The future's here now. The Messiah is on the planet. The kingdom of God is at hand. You can touch it. You can reach it. And he was a forerunner to the things that were to come. And we read it out of that that prophetic word out of the Old Testament, he prepared the way for the coming of the Son. It is amazing to me that even Jesus needed somebody on earth to bring heaven. Do you realize that personally, I believe that Jesus could not have come without John the Baptist decreeing it? I do nothing, he says, except I first reveal it to my prophets on earth. John the Baptist was 100% earthling. Jesus wasn't. He was this crossbreed of heaven and earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The first answer to that prayer was Jesus himself, for he was the man sent from heaven to earth. And he became all man, but he had a prior history of being all God. John the Baptist couldn't say that, but see, it took an earthling, those who have dominion on the earth, to say there he is. It took an earthling, I believe, and this might blow your mind, but that's okay. I believe it took an earthling to baptize him. I believe he needed, Jesus said it, let us do this for righteousness' sake. I believe he had to be baptized. He had to be ushered into his ministry, if I could say it that way, by someone born of a woman. Well, Jesus was born of a woman. Yes, he was. But his father was unique. He called himself the Son of Man, always wanting to establish his humanity, but he had a very unique father. And he was born of a virgin. Even you teenagers can figure that out. Amazing. But we're not here this morning to talk about John the Baptist. We're here to talk about us. As a church, as a family, to talk about you. Every church in this community has a unique calling. And no calling is different or better than the other, but one of the things, as I've had the privilege over the past many years of rubbing shoulders with other pastors in the community, is I get to hear their heart, and I get to hear the vision that's inside of them, and I get a glimpse of why they're here. And I get a glimpse of what they carry and what their church carries in the community. And what part of the gospel, what part of God, Christ the Son made flesh and dwelling among us, are they carrying that they carry so well? And we have a uniqueness to us. And our uniqueness is that we are a forerunner church like John the Baptist was, a forerunner person. And we need to understand that. And I didn't understand that, even though I knew the way we were going. We were a forerunner before we knew what that meant. We were doing stuff that no one else was doing, like having revivals in shopping centers and converting buildings to meeting places, because we didn't have a building of our own to convert. So we just took 30,000-foot shopping center and turned it into a revival center because we didn't know any better. We didn't know you don't do that, so we did it and impacted thousands of lives, literally. And not just that, but over the years, we've always done stuff. And see, that is a forerunner. It isn't like you even try to be. You just are, and you can't help it. It's like you're just a forerunner. See, and all through the church history, there has been forerunners. There's always been those who are always pressing, and they... Shortly after we built this building, we had a prophet in here, and they prayed for me. And Clem Ferris, one of the prophets said, he said, you just built this building, and you're still dissatisfied. And he was right. Because, see, forerunners are always looking out the window. Doesn't matter what's already been established. They're looking for the more. They recognize this is all wonderful. This is good. But oh, what else is out there? What else is there? There's got to be more. Many of you are here because you're forerunners in spirit. There's a holy dissatisfaction in you with just normal church. Just church for church's sake, and that's not an indictment against anything. That's just the way you're wired, and there's an unsettledness in you, and there's something in you, a hunger and a thirst for a more. And I want you to know that that hunger and thirst did not come from you. It comes from God, and it is the way He wired you. Aaron, you're a forerunner, and when I first came in here from the prayer room, I saw you, and I forgot that we had met once, and a word sprung up in my spirit, and it was just that. You are a forerunner. There's something you're carrying of the future, and I don't even understand all that means, but there is a seed in you of something bigger and something different than what you've seen, and I want to encourage you in that. And I don't even know what I'm talking about, but I'm trusting that you do, or I just missed it. Anyway, but you see, there is an unsettledness. So if I can just use this building as an example, as the church at large, forerunners thank God for what's already happened. They thank God for, oh, a plastic pulpit. Oh, that's nice. Yeah, But what's going on? There's a kingdom out here. And there, Jesus said, the works that I do and greater works you'll do. And I'm sorry, but I don't see that happening in here. Whoa, how do we get that in here? See, forerunners bring in what once wasn't. Do you realize that it wasn't, some of you will remember this, it wasn't so long ago that these guitars right here were not in a church. No way. Don't you bring that honky-tonk sound into the church. But there were forerunners who were seeing and hearing something out the window and realizing there's a sound out there that could be in here. And they paid a price to get it here. There was a time when there was no way in heaven that there was going to be drums in the church. Are you kidding me? You're going to bring in that boom, 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 that beat of the world? Don't you bring that into the church. And see, so it was outside the window, but somebody's, and it always happens, it's never just somebody, it's a lot of somebody's all over the planet just began to see something new and something available, and they just began to go after it. And then they pay a price to get it, but guess what? The honky-tonk guitar and the drums are here. And thank God they are. Now that's just an example of what I'm talking about. But in the same way, there are spiritual realities, even more, probably less tangible than drums and the guitar, that there are forerunners all over the globe pressing into God for, to see it come out of the kingdom and into the church. See, it's already in the kingdom. That's the why. So we're wired uniquely. We just had an all-day elders meeting where we just agreed with the prophetic words that have been spoken with us over some of the stuff that's on the inside of us. And we just agreed, we might not even like it, but we're forerunners. And we are contending for something that's not here yet. And I know some of you might be tired of hearing me for I don't know how many years proclaiming that there is a revival coming and is even here to a degree. But I just want to say to you this morning that there's a revival coming and it's even here to a small degree. Yeah. And I will continue to declare it. because I know it's the truth. Pastor Dave knows it's the truth. Our elders know it's the truth. There is something of God that is about to break forth upon the earth. I wish I had my baton. Well, I do. And the baton is being passed to the whomsoevers that will take it and run with it. And will carry the anointing, carry the life of God into their sphere of influence. And it is a revival that will not have anybody's name on it except the name of Jesus. And, you know, it says signs and wonders will follow those who believe. And sometimes we really want to make sure they follow pretty close to us so they know who did it. Think about it. But I tell you, there's signs and wonders happening all over, and the nameless and the faceless people are doing them. And it's happening in the marketplace. It's happening in schools. It's happening all over. And that is just going to continue to escalate because God wants to visit the earth, and he can't do it through one man or one woman or even a ministry. That's why I am so thrilled about embracing the church at large of the city, because I know we got to get it done together. So that's the why. That's who we are as a church. And because we are a forerunner church, we have the privilege from time to time of hosting meetings that are forerunner meetings. They're unique. About 12 years ago, we began to have some meetings with a man by the name of Alan Ross. And for those of you who are visiting, he is a prophet from Scotland, very dear man and a very gentle man. And it's not often that you hear the word prophet and gentle in the same sentence, but you should, because he's a New Testament prophet that carries the mark of Jesus on his life. And he doesn't come to read your mail, unless it's good news. Yeah, might not there be some bad news? Yep, but prophets don't deliver it. Pastors do. They do. And elders. Leaders in the house. You don't bring Uncle Alan from way over across the sea to bring correction in your house. You let those who live in the house and lead in the house do that. That's the mentality that's been so whacked for years because leaders didn't have the guts to address what was going on in their own house, so they brought in some hired gun. Who's going to bring a word that's going to cut you all to pieces, and then the pastor will heal you up. That's stupid. But it happened, and we can laugh, but you might be sitting here this morning and you know just what it means to get sliced and diced by the hired gun. And if that is so, I apologize to you on behalf of church leaders. I apologize to you. Father, I ask you to bring healing to my brother. I don't even know what's going on, but I'm just going with it. I just ask for the forgiveness of the words of leaders who sought to control rather than care for, who sought to manipulate rather than to release. Father, let your forgiveness flow. Let your healing flow. I don't know if you know this or not, but when 2012 changed, it didn't just mark the beginning of a new year. It marked the beginning of a whole new season for the body of Christ. And the only evidence I have of that is it's true. And if you don't believe it yet, just begin to monitor things. Just begin to watch. Just begin to look. Just begin to see. Even check out your own heart. Check out your own spirit. Is there not an expectation on the inside of you for something different? Is there not an expectation for a newness and a freshness concerning the things of God? Do you not see a fresh anointing resting upon you and upon the people around you? Well, I tell you, it's because it's a new season. Hang the new year. That's wonderful. They come and go, but I tell you what, new seasons? Oh, I love it. Forerunners live for the new season, and they live for the new season because they died for the new season in the last season. Well, they did too. So anyway, that's the why. So because of that, and because we are forerunners, we get the privilege of hosting events that are forerunner-type events. I started to tell you, when Alan Ross came here 12 years ago, it was a little bit of a risk, I guess. I'd never met him. So when he first got here, I sat and questioned him. He reminded me later, you really grilled me when I first came. Because I'd seen the false and I wanted the authentic. But I knew there was a prophetic release that he wanted to bring. See, there is a principle that if you honor a prophet in the name of the prophet, you get a prophet's reward. And you know what the prophet's reward is? Wholesale prophetic anointing throughout the whole body. Yeah. Yeah, the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. You know what an evangelist, if you honor an evangelist in the name of an evangelist, you get an evangelist's reward. You know what an evangelist's award is? Wholesale release of an evangelistic anointing across a whole body of people. And so it is with an apostolic and the teaching and the pastoral. That is the purpose of those offices. It isn't to have big greeting cards and wear all kinds of jewelry and white suits and walk funny. And talk funny and say, Jesus, in a really weird way. It is to be men of God and women of God who release something into the atmosphere. And now after 12 years, there is a prophetic anointing all throughout this body. In fact, we're going to have prophetic teams ministering to people this coming conference. But not only that, but there's a prophetic anointing throughout this whole city and region. Over the last 12 years, Alan has been in no less than 5 churches in the region. He has been in I can't even count the businesses. He's sat with board members and prayed over their staff at a number of different businesses. I'm not going to mention them. Not that it matters, but I don't want to take the time. But a number of different businesses, and he's prayed over their staff, and just he's released prophetic seed all over the place. So there is a prophetic anointing in this place, in this region. That's what a forerunner church does. It releases the future. See, the prophetic is the future. When we have Alan come to town, I have other pastors calling me, can I have breakfast with Alan? Is he available? And I understand that. And businessmen. Is Alan got some free time? We hit him up to Alexandria and to Wilmer. Same thing. We're sending out an email saying, sorry, this time he just does not have the time, but come to our house. Come to our party. We're going to throw a party. Alan's going to be there. Why don't you come? Turn with me in your Bibles. This is where we're going to preach from. To 1 Peter Chapter 4. I just answered the why. Now I want to answer the what. First Peter chapter 4 and verse 7. Somebody stole my water. Did you steal my water? I'm sorry. if I get a little worked up, but it's a new season. Verse 7, chapter 4, 1 Peter. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. We've been in our prayer times here on Thursdays. We've been talking, and some of the intercessors have been seeing watchmen. And it's very important that when a season is changing, that you have watchmen on the wall. But I want to give you a new perspective. Actually, the Lord dropped it into my spirit while we were praying here Thursday. I want to give you a new perspective of watchmen, because we tend to think that watchmen are there to watch for the coming of the enemy. Oh no, he's going to get us. But I want to suggest that watchmen are there, can also be there to proclaim the coming of the king and the coming of the kingdom. See, watchmen don't just declare the bad news. They get to declare the good news. Now, we must be serious. We just read it, and vigilant. And I would suggest the reason is because the end is near. It's closer than it's ever been. Simple mathematics tells you that. Be serious and watchful in your prayers. And there is a watchman anointing that is raising up, but it is declaring the good news. Now, if in your life you don't from time to time come face to face with the adversary, I would suggest you're heading the wrong direction. But when you do come face to face with the adversary, I suggest you try this. Boo! And I guarantee you he will run like a chihuahua with his tail tucked between his legs. See, I read this scripture and I don't see bad news. I see good news. It isn't a warning like, oh, be watchful. Oh, the end, be serious, the end of all. Oh, he's going to get you. I don't think so. I read the book. It's not true. He's defeated. And I'm not going to get into that. I am tonight, though, a little bit. We're going to be talking tonight about freedom. I thought it was interesting how much freedom there was here this morning. But anyway, freedom in the kingdom. The way of the kingdom is freedom. Freedom. Anyway. I'm sorry. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. And if anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I want to focus on verse 9. Be hospitable to one another. I want to challenge you and encourage you that you have an opportunity with the upcoming conference to put on hospitality. We need you. We need this family. We're going to be hosting, we don't know how many, from throughout the city and region for a prophetic conference, but we want you as the family of God to take ownership of that time. How many of you know when you're getting ready to have company at your house, the whole family pulls together? The mothers are shaking their head. No, they don't. Well, I'm here to tell you they should. And if they don't, they should. But at least mom and dad pulled together, and the wives might be shaking their head, no, they don't. Well, I'm just telling you, they should. And dad and mom should make sure the whole family, because it is a family affair. And I want you to know that we have a call upon our life as a church to be a house of hospitality, to be a place where from time to time people come in to check out the forerunner stuff that's going on here. And sometimes I've had people tell me when I came, I just didn't really want to be there, but I knew I should. But they get blessed because they get a taste of what is and is to come. We've had pastors in the community. Dave will tell him, he's heard it. I heard it when I was pastor here. He hears it now that he is. Other pastors in the community say to us, thank you for hosting those events. We cannot do that. We couldn't do that, but we're thankful somebody is. When we had on a number of occasions, people here from Reading with a concentrated effort on the forerunner spirit of healing, of playing hands on the sick and seeing their recover. We had pastors in the area saying, thank you for doing that. We know it's part of the future, but we can't go there. Not right now. They will go there. Once it's broke through. Well, that's not right. Yes, it is. It is right. There is some things going on in this city that years ago wouldn't have been so widely accepted, but now they are. Because somebody just pursued it. And that's not, you know, Paul asked the question, what did you get? What do you have that you did not get from God? And if you got it from God, why do you boast? So it's not boasting, it's just acknowledging who we are and what we carry. And so my challenge to you, and that might be too strong a word, my encouragement to you is that you have opportunity to help us host. Can I ask you a question, those of you who attend regularly, those of you who are members, do you see yourself and do you see this house as your house? Do you take ownership of it? We on Sunday nights, just started recently, and tonight, we will have about, 70 to 80 people here, and about a third of them will be from outside of this body. When those of you who come on Sunday nights, do you see yourself as a part of the house who are helping host those who are not from here? Do you recognize? We want to give you the privilege of grabbing a hold of the vision that we have and the call that we have to be a house of hospitality on Sunday mornings. Do you see yourself? Those of you who attend here regularly are members. Do you see yourself as a part of the family that gets to host others? If you don't, we want to encourage you to. I want to exhort you to. We need you. And we need you to be carrying the vision with us. Now, how many of you know that you don't have company every week, every day? There are seasons of company. And as leaders, we understand that. And there are seasons when we, have a conference or host something. And in those times, we want to ask you all to be active in some aspect of helping to host. And it might be on a subject that you're really not interested in. That's okay. It's not about you. But we need you. We need you helping and serving. And you might say, well, how can we help? How can we serve? Well, there's a whole sign-up list back on the, where is it, on the information center of how you can sign up and help for this conference. Oh, great. Yeah. There's two sign-up sheets in a sense out there. There's one for this upcoming conference on with Alan Ross from February 10th through the 12th. And there's another one that's just a general one for in the future. You know, call on. I'd be willing to usher. Call me. I'd be willing to help with this. Call me. I'd be willing to help with parking. Call me. With security. Call me. And I want to challenge you, but I want to see, I don't want us to be like the kids who, because we got company coming, I guess we got to vacuum the house. I guess we'll do it if we have to. I'm believing for the Spirit of God to put something in you that takes, I think I can use the word pride, in the fact that we get to host something that probably nobody else in the city would host. And if and there might be a church or two that would, but they don't talk to other churches. See, John the Baptist was an interesting character. He lived on locust and honey and lived in the wilderness. My personal opinion, it doesn't say this, Brian, but I think he smelled. See, he said concerning Jesus, he must increase and I must decrease. But I don't think he realized that meant prison. When he said it, he did later. That's why he sent his disciples to find out what on earth is going on. I think he knew the answer. He questioned in the dark what he knew he saw in the light. But here's what I'm convinced of. It doesn't have to be that way. I'm convinced that you can be a forerunner and yet connect with the larger body of Christ. And they can come to a place to where they recognize you see value in them, and so they see value in you. You honor them and for who they are, and you don't do it strategically. You do it because you really do. I tell you, over the years, as I've prayed with pastors in this community, I have come to love them so much and who the men and women of God that they are and what they carry. A sincere love and a sincere honor and a sincere respect, because they're awesome men and women of God who really see church different than I do. They see kingdom different than I do. They different than me. Imagine that. And yet I honor them, and I believe by the grace of God they honor me and Dave and others of us. I remember sitting in my office the day I read a letter in 1995, might even have been late 94, and it was an invitation to link arms with other churches in the community to do the Lowell Lundstrom Crusade. And I was about to throw the letter in the trash until the Spirit of God screamed on the inside of me, "Don't you do that. If you don't take advantage of this opportunity, it will grieve me." And I knew it. And the only instruction he gave me was, "I want you to begin to join arms and rub shoulders with other leaders in the community, and I want you to behave yourself wisely." And I knew what he meant. Because, see, we charismatics and we forerunners tend to have a reputation of just being just out there and to heck with everything else. You know, I see what I see out the window. To heck with what we got here. What we got here is no good. We need that. And that is dumb. Because I thank God for what we got here. I thank God for what we can traffic in now. I thank God that what we traffic in now keeps me refreshed for what I know is to come. What we got now keeps me alive and brings healing to me and keeps me sane while I pursue what I know is yet to come. See, the nature of God, and it's very much in the nature of forerunners, call the thing that be not as though it were, because they know it will be. And so they begin to live in the future before the future's here. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's faith. And by faith, they began to press into the future now. And some of you are even in your own souls and in your own lives and in your own vision for ministry. It's like you carry something of the future and it just frustrates the bejesus out of you because you can't live it now. And it's like, ooh. And some of you have carried a vision for a long time. And it's like, God, when? You've carried a vision for a long time. Both of you, but probably more you, Dan. There is something of a vision on the inside of you for something of great significance, and you've seen it. And the Lord's here to tell you this morning, this thing that you carry is not born of you or of your own imagination. It's born of God. And I just want to come alongside you as your brother this morning and say, do not let go of that. I see it in you. I see it in your eyes. And I want to encourage you in it. It's real, brother. It's real. We're not nuts. Well, maybe we are, but what's that got to do with it? Peter writes and says that the people of God are a peculiar people. Well, we are. And sometimes people, believers, tried so hard not to be peculiar. But we are. Our citizenship is not on planet Earth, it's in heaven. We don't live for the present, we live for the future. We'd rather give than receive. There's just a whole bunch of upside down principles that we believe in that are kingdom principles, like him who has more or has much shall be given more. And it's like, are you kidding me? That's not fair. No, of course it's not. It's kingdom. I don't know how we got on that. But see, there's got to be a place. For some of you, this place is a place where at least you're understood. But I tell you, this is what I want you to understand. There are lots of others out there who need a place where they're understood. Sometimes when I teach on intercession, we do some community classes at the Harley-Davidson Zilzer dealer because I want to prove that God is no respecter of buildings. So we do it there. Plus, the manager, owner, is a good friend of ours, and he is a believer, and it's a kingdom business. So there's an awesome atmosphere there. But we did some classes on intercession there, and I had people coming up to me and saying, oh, finally you put in words what I've been feeling. I thought I was crazy. And some of you understand that. You carry burdens, and you carry vision, and you carry a, ooh. And if you don't understand me, that's okay. But there's a whole handful of people in this room right now that do. And it's like there's just something on the inside of you that's bigger than anything you've seen in this room. And this, you know, oh, thank God for this. But please, God, tell me this ain't it. There's got to be more. There's got to be more than this. And when someone talks like that, we tend to feel like you just don't have any respect for the body of Christ or for church. No, I do. I just don't want it to stay like this forever. The word boring comes to mind. There's got to be more. There's got to be more to this life in Christ. There's just got to be. And so there's this seed on the inside of us, and it's like, oh, oh. And there's an awareness that until the appointed time, you can, oh, all you want. But you're not going to bring it any closer. But there is an awareness that the and the oh is an intercession that helps bring it. And it's like a shout. That feeling on the inside is like a shout in the spirit realm that says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so it pulls and it pulls and it pulls and it pulls on heaven. And it brings into alignment earth so that heaven and earth align. And new seasons like we're in. happen. So what's this new season all about? Well, I can't answer that for everybody, but I can answer it for this house as a church, for this family. It is about getting more serious about giving away that which we possess. It is about recognizing that we have the privilege of hosting things like Higher Call and other things that people have been longing for. A place where you can be equipped to do the work of the ministry, not just, and I want to say this carefully, but not just the Word, but a marrying of the Word and the Spirit. So that it's not about theology, it's about application and about impartation. Thank God for theology, but it's got to be more than that. And it's taking the words off the page and making the Word of God become flesh and dwelling among people. And even as I say that, I don't know how you do that, but we're doing it. And we're going to do it because it's part of the new season. Verse 10 talks about the gifts. And do you realize that you have a responsibility to steward the gift that's within you? You have a gift. Ben prophesied it earlier. You know what causes us to pull back concerning the use of our gifts? We have this treasure in earthen vessels. The cracked pots that he prophesied about. And we get so depressed about the earthenness of the vessel that we assume we got to get that fixed before we can be any good for God. And that's just not true. In fact, Ben's prophesied it, and it's right. Your earthenness is what makes you able to communicate and touch base with other people. Yes. He needs this shell. He needs this earthen vessel. But the issue is not the vessel, it's the glory. It's the excellence of the glory. And the reason that this earthen vessel is so important is because it's how we touch base with people. And we see people, and you see people and they're dancing, and you say, "Well, I think that was in the flesh." God, I hope so. I mean, I hope their body was involved. I hope their emotions were involved.
Yeah,
see, God needs, the Holy Spirit needs this tent. He needs this shell, as imperfect as it is. But it helps us connect with people. But we need to steward the gift that's on the inside of you. Can I ask you a question? What gifts do you carry? What gifts do you carry? What can you do? And I don't mean just the spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians, but what do you have to offer? How can you give Jesus away? How can you help us as a family be a house of hospitality? You know what our goal is? That when people would, and we hear it on Sunday mornings, I want to hear it for other events. We hear it on Sunday mornings. Man, we came into that place and we just feel so accepted and so loved. Pastor Dave will tell you, he hears it all the time. The reason I know he hears it all the time is because when I was the pastor, I heard it all the time. Just a love and an acceptance. Don't have to jump through hoops. Don't even have to tuck your shirt in. Imagine that. By the way, I dress like this because I've wanted to for over 40 years. And when I went to high school, you couldn't dress like this. Shirt tails in. Tuck those shirts in. If I could, I'd have the long hair too. Because I couldn't have that either. My dad wouldn't let me. You ain't looking like no girl. get myself one of those PhDs, Pentecostal hairdo. But see, but what is it evidence of? Here's what it's evidence of: freedom. That's all. I can tuck my shirt in and I'll preach the same. I guarantee it.
Amen.
But I'm more comfortable this way. Plus, yeah, that's another controlling thing. We just break that in the name of Jesus. We just break it in the name of Jesus. We break off control in Jesus' name. We just break it off. See, one of the things that we want people when they come into this house to experience is the freedom just to be themselves. One of the calls that is on this house and that's on my life as an apostolic leader is to validate people the way they are and call out the gold in them and convince them they don't have to be something different to be who they are. They can be who they are and fulfill their destiny. So many times we feel like there must be something different I got to do to be a man of God or a woman of God. No, you don't. Jesus knows the cracked pot that you are and he loves it. In fact, he had a hand in cracking you. That out of the brokenness of who you are, there might come a softness on the inside toward broken people. One of the biggest things that has brought freedom in my life is death. It's just true. And so this is the atmosphere that we love to host here. And other people, other churches will say, we can't do that. And I understand that. But I've been invited to preach at other churches and men's retreats, you know, of other churches. And you know what they asked me to teach on? I preached at a men's retreat for Christ Church. You know what they asked me to teach on? The Holy Spirit. Are you kidding me? It's a Lutheran church. So what did I do? Just go in there and I just blasted them away. No, I didn't. I was as harmless as a dove and as wise as a serpent. And I was very careful and I behaved myself wisely. Because I recognized that we did not get here overnight. And no one else will either. But I tell you what, when people become comfortable with who you are, they'll become comfortable with what you carry, even if it freaks them out. Because sooner or later, the connection takes place and they realize that who you are must be related to what you carry. Get them, God. Oh, you're getting so set free. Father, just free them. Free them. Free them. Free them. Free him from having to fit in a mold in the name of Jesus. You don't have to fit in a mold, brother. Who wants a moldy brother anyway? You're just free. You're just free. You're just free to be Ron. You're just free to be you. I just break off all that religious stuff about dress and about authority and all of that. Oh. Where the presence of the Lord is, where the Lord is, there is liberty. There's freedom. That doesn't mean we don't have order. We have order. Well, we... well, we do too. But it's God's order. It's not man's order. Not everything isn't in everything in nice, neat, orderly rows. Look at the trees God's planted. Find the system in that. Find the rule that he followed in planting those trees. Now, here's a question for you. When we have company, can you behave yourself wisely?
Yes.
By the way, we have company this morning. Wait a minute. Aren't you supposed to be in Sunday school? You just broke a rule. You can't do that. I don't care what Dad said. Don't you understand the rule? Get her, Lord. Bless her. So how many of you are on board just to help us host? And as events come close, we'll always let you know where we need help, but we need help. Because the reality is that, see, here's the, I think it's called an axiom, I don't know, but anyway, the saying is that 20% of the people do 80% of the work. I think that doesn't have to be that way. I think if we cast vision and if we help people understand. And see, your role is significant. That's a whole other thing we're blasting to pieces with higher call and other things like that. Is the reality is it doesn't care. It doesn't matter what your function is. It's important. Yes. There is no appendix in the body of Christ. What did that mean? Well, here's what it means to me. I had my appendix out when I was about 21, and I said, is that going to be okay? He said, yeah, the doctor said, yeah, you don't really need it. No one, you know, it doesn't really seem to serve a function. Huh. I wasn't saved then, but that didn't make sense to me. If for no other reason, it slowed me down long enough to lay in a bed, have it out. I wasn't saved then, but I was still running. I didn't stand still back then either. So, you see help. Anybody help? Help? I want to bring this to a close, but I don't want to just lop it off. We got to do something. We got to do something to respond to the word of the Lord. We got to do something to say yes. Now, hey, I got to do this. If you're here this morning and this just does not relate to you, and you might hear people all around you saying yes and you're saying no, can I just say to you, that's okay?
Yes.
See, we're freedom to be, but we're free not to be too.
Yes.
To be or not to be, that is the question. No, really. See, we need, so many times we got to fit in this cute little mold, whatever it is that our vision calls us to fit in. And I have come to understand that people are different and they move differently, they understand differently, they grow differently, they walk differently. And we need to give room for those who are still processing things. You might be here this morning, and after what I've shared, you might have been here for 10 years, and you just realized, I don't fit here anymore. That's okay. But if you do leave, please let us pray for you. Let us bless you. Let us love you. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We're free to stay, we're free to go, and sometimes you're not free to go till you're free to stay. Think about that a while. Yes, come on up. Help me.
I just have two small things to share. You know, for a long time, I have the gift of encouragement. And for a long, long time, I said, what's that? That's not, you know, what big deal is that? And I downplayed it and downplayed it and downplayed it till the Lord and my husband spoke to me and said, that's significant. I just want to encourage you. There is no gift that's too small.
Amen.
No gift that's too small. And even if we haven't stepped out in our gifts, you know, maybe God is you know, drawing us to do that. So I just want to leave that to you before you. And the other part is, if you don't feel to be involved in the conference that's coming up, or maybe another conference or whatever, I would just ask that you just pray then, that God would supply. You know, we're all can be from that perspective, is just pray then. God will meet the need, and He will. I know He will.
Amen. Thank you. I'm going to ask, and please, please do not respond to this unless you want to. And I don't know how to say that any other way, but one of my biggest concerns is that people feel manipulated or whatever. But as I was sitting there, I felt like the Lord wanted us as a family, those who can and are willing, to come forward as a statement that, and it's a divine yes. And the yes is to this: yes, we will become a house of hospitality to this city and the surrounding region. And that does, see, it takes an agreement as us as a body. Can we do that?
Yeah.
Come on up. Let's just, and again, if that's not witness, you know, if that's just not registering with you, that's okay. This is a yes. This is you saying yes without speaking a word. Maybe you're not part of the body here, but you want to be, or you feel you probably will be. That's fine. Come on up. You don't have to be a member to help us pull the load that God has given us. Father, we just thank you. We invite you to look, as if you weren't already watching. But we invite you to look at the response of our heart as a family, Father. Father, we thank you for the privilege you give us to carry something that's a little unique, a little different, a little out there, because it's not present, it's future. And yet, eventually the future becomes the present, and then we'll still be dissatisfied. It's just the truth. But Father, look at the yes. Look at the yes that we as a family are making to you today. We want to serve you by serving people.
Yes.
We want to serve you by serving people. We want to love you by loving people.
Yes.
A few others of you, just in not a long prayer, but in just put into words what our yes is. And you're not just speaking on behalf of yourself, you're speaking on behalf of the family. Just a prayer of yes. I know you got it in you.
I just want to encourage that there's some gifts that are not recognized. The gift of administration and the gift of helps.
Yes.
Listed right up there alongside of healing, miracles, you know. I want to encourage you that if you carry a gift of administration, it seems, well, that's so heady, it doesn't seem spiritual at all.
Can I
encourage you that there is a spiritual gift of administration and helps where you can do it excellently,
yeah,
beyond your own ability.
Yeah.
If that's you, I just bless you, administrative people with just a what seems like a natural gifting. It's so easy just to help, and you think, well, that's not spiritual. It's very spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
I see people here who have just an incredible gift of helps,
yeah,
administration.
Good.
I just want to set you
good
free. Because we need
yes
to see the gift of administration is a gift whose time has come.
Good. Casey was having a vision.
She wanted to pray.
Oh, okay. Go with it before you boil over.
Father, I thank you for all that you have given me, for all the healing you've given me, for all the truth that you've given me, for the way you have set me free from the enemy's lies. I thank you, God, that you will never call me and call us into something that is drudgery, that is something that isn't truly who we are, that you always call us into something that will satisfy and fulfill our very being. And I thank you, Father, that because you have given us so much, that we have the opportunity and the privilege to share it with others. Thank you for the joy that comes when we walk in who we are. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Good. Just 1 minute. Mm-hmm. Anyone else got a prayer? Before we shift.
Father, I just want to thank you right now for all my brothers and sisters. And each of us have gifts and graces that you gave to us before the foundations of the world. And Father, I ask you right now that we do not compare ourselves with one another.
Good.
But that we would learn to embrace one another and to encourage one another, not to look even at the men and women that are up on this pulpit and say, well, look at them. No, we need each other doing what God's called us to do.
Good.
It starts here, but it's going to continue until we even go up into heaven. So, Father, I ask that anywhere where the enemy's come in and lie to them or try to say, well, look at what they're doing. What you're doing is not good enough. And that they would tell the enemy to shut up.
Amen.
And, Father, I just thank you for that right now in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Someone else had their hand up.
I just say yes and amen. I felt the same thing. We just call forth. We call forth every gift, every gifting, everything that's known, everything that's unknown. Father, go deep into each one of us. Those things that have been laying dormant, those things that we, for some reason, have been shut down, turned off. Father, flip the on switch. Open our hearts to receive in abundance and in clarity and in purpose, passion, and vision.
Yeah,
Father,
agree.
Give us the ability to bring heaven down.
Yes.
Let it be on earth as it is in heaven. And let us not even just here, but as we go to work, at home, at school, in the marketplace, wherever we are, let our giftings come forth in a way that we've never experienced and that the body has never experienced and the world has not experienced. Let it start here.
Yes.
Let us not say, well, it's for others. It's for me. It's for now.
Amen.
Father, I ask that you would do that in my heart. Those things that I have said, I can't do that anymore. It's not in me. It's not time. Father, the things I've put on the shelf, Father, take them off the shelf. Reignite that thing, those giftings that I have just chosen. I have chosen not to use them for whatever reason. Father, I believe, help me thou my unbelief, that I can be used again.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. This last one. Go ahead.
Father God, I just ask that you would bless the hands of everyone who is helping in any way, shape, or form. And I ask, Lord, that every word that's spoken here in this building, no matter with this first coming conference or any time throughout the year, that the words that are said spread mightily out like a wave of rushing water. And I ask, Lord, that you would bless every person who comes to speak. I ask that you would bless the leadership here as we are looking to them. I ask that you would bless every word out of their mouth as they are here to teach us so that we can walk in our gifts, that we can move forward and we are not held bound by anything. Mm-hmm. I thank you, Lord, and I praise you, and I ask this in your son's name.
Amen. Amen. Casey, come on up. He had a vision he wanted to share, and then we're going to close.
I've actually been sitting on this for a few weeks, and it's all coming together, and I'm going to try to make it short to get to the vision. In 2002, at my 20-year reunion, I was given the Devil Award. I was expected to be the first one in prison, blah, blah, blah. A friend of mine from high school, but at the same time, under my topic, I was a youth pastor. A friend of mine who lived in Australia wrote me an email and said she couldn't believe where I've come to. And she said, I see a ship dry docked. And that's all she said. And she said, ships are safe there, but that's not where they belong. 2 weeks ago, a young man Wednesday night took a risk and said, you know, I see this ship over the top of your head. And the interesting thing is I've come 2 weeks in a row. There is a ship docked out here that you would not believe the size of the ship. And the revelation has come to this. We will carry thousands of people in that ship. It's a two-type ship. It's a battleship, and it's a ship of refuge for people. And in that battleship, we are the ones who on one hand are cleaning the urinals, on one hand doing the works, and on the other hand, we have got the weaponry to fight the enemy. That's why it's a twofold ship. It's a battleship and a crew and a carrier at the same time. And the thing is the ship is sitting out there in the stacks. It's running. It's not going anywhere right now. And a few people are going in there and beginning to put food in the areas, beginning to start to clean the rooms. They're preparing because that ship has been dry docked for a while. And the thing that he's saying is I have a place for every one of you. And if you serve me, you will be full of joy. If you serve yourself or serve man, you will be a burden you will not like. Serve me. I have a spot for every one of you.
Amen. Amen. Good word. Good word. Well, bless you. Go in the peace of God. Thank you for coming.
We hope you enjoyed today's message from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. If you live in or are planning to travel to the Elk River area, we invite you to join us for our Sunday morning worship service at 9:30 a.m. each week. For directions and to learn more about our church, please visit our church website at livingwaterschurchelkriver.org.